DT in the delay.
I know, right? I was thinking, are we going to start? Yes, I do want to date your avatar. Your avatar's so hot.
I will tell you all out there in podcast, man, this is not the song I wanted to play for you on a Friday. I wanted to play my theme song, but sometimes worth money, but it's a little too graphic. You couldn't have the speakers up at work.
Just a little bit.
But I wanted to, it is Friday, you're supposed to be getting paid. You're supposed to get your boss and say, where's my money? But you can't play that during daytime podcast. Maybe one night.
Where's my money?
It's a lot of expletives you can start.
Inside your head.
Yes. You don't know how I am all about my money. Is me my money?
She's like, where is my money?
I can't even say it. I want to say it so bad. I can't say it.
Come on, Corey. You can say it. Everybody cover your ears. Cover your ears.
Corey. No, you ought to go look it up on YouTube and get fired on your own dime. I'll be responsible. Especially some of you out there that are crazy who will go up to your boss and actually start saying the words, where's my money? Money. And then be like,
here's your pink slip.
Here's your last check. Your very last paycheck. Here's your slip. Nice having you here. Calling the show, talking about you got me fired, dude. I don't think so. How's everybody doing out there in podcastulation land?
Oh, I am awesome. I don't know about everybody else.
Oh, why, you're awesome. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am always awesome. So awesome.
We know why you're awesome.
Oh, we do? Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to give me hell.
Or people are going to give me. Ginger, did we lose you?
I'm still here.
Oh, you went totally quiet for a second. Anyway, I was like, we lost us some Ginger.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, she's so sweet. I can't.
Everybody seems to be thinking that today. It's like, what in the world? You're all crazy.
You're like sugar. Sugar and cotton candy and everything all rolled up in
one. I guess. Oh, my gosh.
I just don't know how sweet Ginger is. She's rolling her eyes like, will you stop?
I am. I so am.
Oh, by the way, you stalkers out there that love you some Ginger, remember to drop by her Cannon Fodder review and leave a comment there. See, some of you are leaving comments other places, or maybe you just love us. I don't really know, but her Cannon Fodder review is where we need those lovely comments. Tell Ginger, you're all sugary cotton candy.
Yes, because I'm just the sweetest thing since sugar.
Yes, you are. I just want to kiss it. Okay, so we need to do some news.
Oh, God, Corey.
Have you ever noticed people, especially in the South, when we like things, we refer to it not by, you don't refer to the person as a them, it's it. You're always an it, in case you guys are wondering why I say that. I just want to kiss it. I do mean her. I don't mean any part of her body. Some of you from the North don't get that stuff. You're like, oh, you said it. What are you talking about? No.
Oh, don't be fooled. She does want to kiss that, too.
Hey! That's where I need my theme song right there. Right there. That's where I need it, right there.
I love it.
Oh, mm-hmm, sure you do. Cutting. Okay, so what we got for news today?
Oh, come on, Corey. I'm my pixelated baby.
I'm done with you. I am done.
All right. So you think they want some news? Did we even tell them who we are today? I don't even think we did. Hello?
Oh, I want to be muted when I do that. Okay, yes. It's lunch with Ginger and Corey. And I'm Ginger.
And I am Corey, apparently.
So what do we have on the news today? How's the traffic, Eileen?
How is the traffic? The traffic, it's a little bit sad, actually. Apparently, traffic is down. Yeah, I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com this morning. U.S. video game sales slipped 4% in March. Not good. North American retail video game sales slipped 4% in the month of March as consumers turned to digital downloads and online games for their entertainment needs. This is according to data released by NPD Group. Sales of computer and video games fell 16% to $735.4 million compared to $875.7 million in the same period a year ago. Nintendo's 3DS handheld drove hardware sales up 12% to $494.5 million in March, but it wasn't enough to make up for the steep slide in software sales. They say the average gamer bought just one game with the $250 system. Could be because it's $250 system, games are $60 a piece, something like that.
Not on the DS, they're $30.
Not on the DS. All right, so $30 a piece.
That and it has all the other crap on there. You know, you got Netflix and...
Yeah. When combined with sales of game accessories, Microsoft's Kinect and Sony's Move, overall game industry sales were $1.53 billion last month.
Yay for Kinect and Move!
This is down 4% from $1.58 billion in March of 2010. So they say the message coming out of March is that consumers seem to be shifting away from retail and to digital distribution sales, which is true because, you know, if I can buy it on the computer at home, sitting on my, you know, lazy little butt, then that's awesome.
I have to agree. I opt for the easiest way. Well, not all the time. Sometimes I like to go and spend time with the guys in the GameStop. I'm going to have to switch GameStops. I got some guys and my new guys in the GameStop I normally go to that are afraid of women. So, yeah, even when I doll down when I go in there, they're afraid of me. They're, like, afraid to look at me or something.
Oh.
It's weird.
Are you showing the fluffy cakes?
Well, first time I went in there, you know, accidentally, I was, you know, I was dolled up, and you girls out there know when you have that guy that is, he's newly geek, newly coming to terms with his geekery, and he's so scared of girls, he'll talk to you, but he won't look you in the eye, like you're going to hypnotize him or something. Yeah, totally nervous, keeps dropping stuff, and his friend's like, dude, it's just girls. Yeah. Ah, well.
Well.
I got some other news.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, 3DS sales, I don't know if this is good or bad. I guess it's bad when you compare Nintendo to itself or good. I don't know. But in any case, the 3DS handheld has sold under 400,000 units during its U.S. debut. This is according to Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé. I may be saying his name wrong. I usually do. Sorry, Reggie. He spoke to USA Today and said he was pleased with the opening sales for the system when it was launched on March 27th. However, the new console was outsold by the original DS systems, including the DSi and DSi XL. So it's win-win for you guys, really. You got the money either way, which shifted around 460,000 units during the month, thanks in part to the launch of Pokemon Black and White titles with combined sales of 2.5 million. Analyst Cohen and Company had predicted that the system would shift around 750,000 units in the U.S., and the system sold less than the more conservative 500,000 prediction of Wedbush Morgan. He said, we staged supply so it would not sell out. Since we had a product going direct to store, and we also had product in retailers, distribution centers, so they could easily replenish when they had stores running low on inventory. The strategy is why you didn't see massive sellouts on the Nintendo 3DS. Obviously, a sell-through of 400,000 units in 1 week is exceptional, and the fact that we achieved that without people being worried about massive stockouts and shortages was underscored how we properly executed our supply chain, I guess. European sales of 3DS came in at 303,000 units in its opening month, including 113,000 in the UK and 50,000 in Germany, and that's from our friends at GamesIndustry.biz. I would say we just got the 3D, is it, gosh, why can't I never remember the name of that thing? The DSi XL and the DSi. What was that? That just came out last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, so that I think that's mostly hampering it. We, you know, the economy is not great, so you can't afford to get that and then drop another 250 on the new one. So I think maybe you guys should have held that DSi back until you dropped this one and then gave them the option. Show them the pretty new one and then say, you know, like in May, instead of announcing the price cut, say, oh, by the way, if you didn't get a DSi or you wanted one, here they are. They're this much. Bam. And this is a new retooled version, DSi XL. I'm just saying. What do I know? Nintendo does what they do. Okay. A lot of developers are on the Games Industry Biz website. They're predicting this is not bad sales. They're saying they probably should have put a Mario or a Zelda Pokemon title with this 3DS. Probably would have helped. And who knows what we'll see at E3. I think y'all know how I feel about Nintendo. Not that I absolutely adore them. I like them. They're good to us. But they they're always the ones with the ace up their sleeve. So let's see. We'll see.
Yep.
Okay, work it out, Ginger. What you got?
My turn. Create fun to save the world. all right. It's up to you to create fun and save the world. Embark on an unprecedented quest for gravity in Viva Media's newest release, Cargo. In Cargo, you will be asked to put your creativity to work as you build up wacky machines that fly and dive as you garner enough fun to restore gravity back to our planet. Search for cargo floating around and use the debris from the Statue of Liberty to Big Ben and the Eiffel Tower to stake out new lands. Boasting a completely fresh and unique look, the game's story hooks in players as it combines physics-based puzzle solving with insanely addictive gameplay. Players will be challenged to think and use their solutions in this outrageous game where gravity and creativity meets fun. All right, so what about Cargo? The quest for gravity. The gods haven't looked too kindly on humanity and Earth as we know it, and has been reduced to a group of island archipelagos populated by buddies, pint-sized creatures unbound by gravity's force and free to float and frolic at their own whim and leisure. The gods have given the buddies free reign over these colorful islands for their own willy-nilly, topsy-turvy pleasure. But there is a way to stop them. Fun is a secret ingredient that will ground the buddies and return gravity to Earth. Spot here.
We lost you there. I was like, oh no, she's gone.
No, I'm still here. As one of Earth's last human survivors, it's up to you to dish out a healthy dose of amusement to restore order on Earth. Do you have what it takes out with the buddies and win back the favor of the gods? Game features, packed with unique and innovative physics-driven gameplay that offers multiple solutions to each mission, not to mention an unlimited sandbox mode. Explore a wide variety of landscapes and locations, including flying islands, large underwater environments, and numerous interiors. Changing seasons offer a dynamic effect on gameplay. Loads of different I'm going to lose my voice. Loads of different parts and components can be assembled to create crazy yet functional vehicles. And finally, use your own music to create a personalized game soundtrack. Looks like the game will roll out in May. It's going to be for the PC. It's going to be $19.99. And then there's a whole thing of minimum system requirements, but I'm not going to read that because that's boring. So again, Create Fun is the name. Cargo is the name. And you have to create fun to save the world.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's something exciting for you amateur developers out there. Yo-Yo Games Limited has announced the release of the long-awaited update to the Game Maker series with the latest version. I've been waiting on this, probably, I'm telling you. This replaces Game Maker Pro 8.0 and is the required version to submit games through the Yo-Yo Store Publishing. Or Yo-Yo Game Store Publishing. The Game Maker Standard 8.1 costs about $39.99. It's available now. There's both the free light and fully featured standard versions of Game Maker 8.1 are now available at their store. You can get a full list of features and enhancements over at their website called, is this a typo? Glog? Really? So it's glog.yoyogames.com. I think that may be a typo, but I will check that out for you. Yeah, well, you know, go to store.yoyogames instead because I'm pretty sure that's a typo. Of course, they're saying, again, the light version is free if you want to try it out. They also have a special offer for users of the older Game Maker versions. People new to Game Makers or users of the Game Maker Lite are able to obtain the Game Maker Standard 8.1 through the store at the frozen price of $25 until the 1st of June. You can also follow them at Yo-Yo Game Maker on Twitter. Visit their website, of course, yoyogames.com. And there is a Facebook as well with a very long URL, which I'll post for you shortly. And they do have a YouTube channel. If you're not familiar with Yo-Yo Games, the company is headed by CEO Sandy Duncan, who is the ex-vice president of Xbox Europe and was founded to discover the next generation of games development and talent. They do have three divisions, tools, the community, and a publishing things all separate. And they're also saying they'll be announcing shortly the introduction of a premium web store for Mac and Windows Mac and Windows versions of the Game Maker game. So you Mac people will be able to make some games too. And looks like Ms. Ginger stepped away, so I'm going to jump here and jump do another story really quickly. Speaking of developers, the Serious Play Conference says they're seeking speaker suggestions. DigiPen Institute of Technology announced the first ever Serious Play conference and is seeking speakers to talk about creating serious games that help various industries and educational needs. This year, the conference will be held Tuesday through Thursday, August 23rd through the 25th, 2011, at the DigiPen Institute of Technology in Redmond, Washington. DigiPen says that its Serious Play conference aims to push serious games development to a higher competency, building games that deliver predictable results. They also promise that the heads of corporate, military, health, and healthcare programs, senior educators, top simulation and education developers, strategic hardware and software vendors, and industry leaders will be in attendance. The conference is also offering 6 tracks: education, at-home learning, corporate, government/military, medical/healthcare, games for good, simulation design and development, and serious game design and development. Over the course of the 3-day event, attendees will be treated to keynotes and smaller focus sessions aligned by interest and project. Speakers offering information and techniques valuable for multi-tracks are sought and will be given 2 sessions. So they're saying if you're interested in submitting speaker proposals, you should visit seriousplayconference.com. The Serious Play Conference is being facilitated by the efforts of DigiPen Institute of Technology. DigiPen seriously is expensive. Them in Full Sail. Not to put the guys down, but wow. Clark Aldridge, author and serious games consultant and industry veteran, Sue Boll, who we know, hi Sue, is the president of the Boll Company. So if you're interested in being involved, pop over to their website and do it. Ginger, don't be trying to disappear. Where are you trying to go?
I'm not trying to disappear. I'm She's trying to go. This morning.
You trying to leave?
No. All right, so I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
All right. You didn't cover the Canadian Video Game Awards, did you?
Ooh, but no, but I want to hear about who, where, what. No, I'm kidding.
I know, right? Canadian Video Game Awards announces the 2011 finalists. BioWare's Mass Effect 2 and Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed Brotherhood lead with 7 nominations each. The finalists in 12 categories were announced today for the upcoming Canadian Video Game Awards, which will be held in Vancouver on Wednesday, May 18th of 2011 at the Center for Performing Arts. More than 70 nominations were received this year from all parts of Canada, with 31 submissions represented in the list of finalists. Winners will be voted on by a body of industry experts from across the country. Members of the public can get in the game and cast their vote for Canadian Game of the Year at CanadianVideoGameAwards.com. The Canadian Video Game Awards will be held the night before the Canadian Game Conference, formerly GDC Canada, in Vancouver. As the third largest developer of video games in the world, the show will celebrate Canada's spot on the world stage as a leader in interactive entertainment. Video Games Live will be back to provide the entertainment for the evening, and the show will broadcast across the country on City TV and G4 Canada through the Rogers Network. Tickets start at $30 and are now on sale at the event website. Looks like the CVAs are sponsored by, in part, by Kinect for Xbox 360, G4 Canada, Sony PlayStation, Nintendo 3DS, Entertainment Software Association of Canada, the Georgia Strait, and the Canadian Studios of Electronic Arts. All right, there's a whole bunch of games that were nominated for different things. The only ones I'm going to tell you about right now are the finalists for the Game of the Year, which is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Yay!
Dead Rising 2, FIFA 11, Mass Effect 2, and Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Conviction. Yeah, and they have all kinds of awards, looks like they're giving out. And I would read the list, but yeah, I would not finish in our hour. All right, so for full event information, you can check out CanadianVideoGameAwards.com. You can also check them out on Facebook and Twitter, so just look them up. Again, the tickets are only $30, so if you've got the $30, you want to check it out, head over there and do that.
Yes, because they are awesome up there in Canada.
I are in Canada, but I'm not a Canuck.
I don't think they would let us in. I don't think they like us up there. No, I'm kidding.
I'm calling them Canadia.
They're going to, I get some Canadian people going to message me here in just a minute. Good thing I'm not on MSN. Anyway.
Do they have internet in igloos?
Why do you want me to get cut? Why?
I love you, our Canadian friends.
Radioactive Nerd is going to come after me. If you've been on Facebook, you already see what they were doing when I was in Seattle. Why was a because they wanted to carry me around everywhere. I mean, not that I mind.
That's cute.
Yeah, but you have to have a special material for that. You can't just throw me on your back. That's not fun. You have to have, like, you know, those little floating, you know, those carrying beds that you put on your shoulders. Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, I was a human backpack. So anyway.
Human backpack. Oh,
my
God.
Was. That's what they were doing. So there's a very interesting game over at Games Industry Biz, gamesindustry.biz. I visit them a lot because I like to keep you up to date on the business. Can you hear this static, by the way? It's Ginger?
No. I muted myself again. All I can hear is the crazy wind outside. Oh, my God.
Maybe that's what the, I don't know, weird. I'm hearing weird static. Anyway, maybe it's just on my end. Anyway.
It comes from my end, girl. I'm telling you, the winds are blowing hard enough that I think I saw Dorothy's house fly by.
Yeah, well, in Toto, too.
You can buy those ruby slippers. They're mine.
I just want the striped socks. She can keep slippers. Okay. So, Tim, we often tell you about investing in gaming here on the show. It's a good idea. Helps keep our industry all right and tight. This month over at Game Industry Biz, they're saying DigiCapital's Tim Morell looks at investment opportunities in the middleware market. So if you're looking to invest in a game, you might want to go and check that out. I'm not going to read his article to you. You can go check that out. I just wanted to throw that in the middle of the news. But go and take a look if you're trying to figure out a way to get into investing in gaming. And, of course, the cheapest way to do is go to sharebuilder.com, sign up for an account, figure out what you're going to invest in. And don't always make it your favorite game either, because those stocks are high. You want to look for somebody who's, you know, maybe like those guys that just started, that left Rockstar and started their own company, or the guys that left just left Ubisoft, although they did it wrong, probably a good place to invest your money while they're still small. And then, you know, when the next Assassin's Creed Rise of the Phoenix or whatever they're going to make comes out, you'll be on top with the money. You can go buy you a new car and a house and with surround sound speakers. You're not forced. Anyway. All right. So on to my actual story. Oh, I'm crazy today. I'm crazy every day.
You are crazy. But you know what? It's Friday, so it's okay. We can be a little bit crazy.
Oh, no. So let me tell you about the Canadian Video Game Awards. No, I'm kidding. Ginger's like, wait.
I already did that.
Well,
sorry.
Well, actually, I want to tell you about a gaming competition featuring Homefront, European ESL Amateur Series in Homefront by THQ. So Sunday, April the 17th, which is this Sunday, will be the launch of the new ESL Amateur Series in Homefront by THQ. The teams, which each consisting of six players, will fight for the European Homefront crown in ground control mode. Sennheiser, one of the partners of Electronic Sports League, ESL, will award the winning team of the upcoming season with six pairs of PC headsets, model 163D. Yeah, that sounds nice. In addition, ESL will provide the team with a free, I said free, let me say that one more time, free six-month premium account. The team's place second and third will be awarded with a stylish home with stylish home front merchandise, as well as free ESL's premium. Free ESL premium accounts. At the end of the Homefront ESL Amateur Series, the most valuable player, or MVP, if you prefer, of the season will be chosen from among all the participants of the league. The Homefront MVP will receive a remote-controlled Parrot AR drone. I don't know what that is, but you said remote control, Parrot, and drone, and I'm all in.
That is kind of cool.
Oh, yes. So details concerning the rules of the Homefront ESL Amateur Series, the registration, procedures, and schedule will be announced soon on the ESL's Homefront website. Registration for the Homefront ESL Amateur Series is already possible, so if you want to go ahead and get over there and get in early, the players who are currently looking for a new team are advised to visit the Homefront forum. I'm going to give you the link. It's not too long. It's going to be esl.eu/de/homefront. Wow. We're probably going to keep an eye on this for you, let you know who wins. If it's not us. None of us have Homefront, but that doesn't mean we won't pick it up. That doesn't mean we won't jump in. That's some free merchandise right there. I'm just saying.
That is, and we love us some free merchandise.
When you say free and we show up, we don't even know what it is.
Free? What's free?
Could be one chip for free, and we just want it.
Mm-hmm. We want us some free stuff.
That's right. So go over and check that out. And we'll have the link up on the site. Some of you are listening, not listening live, we know, and you're like, I don't have time to write that down now. I'm running down the track and listening to my Gamer Girls Radio. Well, it's okay. It's on the site. You get it later.
Mm,
Yes, and if y'all could run for me today, too, so that I don't have to, that'd be nice. I'm sleepy.
I'm not running today. I'm sorry. I'm going back to sleep. No, I can't go back to sleep.
Not, unfortunately.
I got chauffeuring to do.
No, I don't have that to do. I just, yeah, got to drive. All right. you didn't happen to read one about the UKIE, did you?
Of course I did. No, I didn't.
Okay, good. All right. UKIE asks government to add computer science to national curriculum. The Association
I agree.
The Association for United Kingdom Interactive Entertainment has called on the UK's government national curriculum review to add computer science as a standalone subject taught to teenagers in schools. UKIE, which represents the gaming and interactive entertainment industry in the country, says that while digital devices and software are now an intrinsic part of modern life, computer science has not been added to the national curriculum, the standardized lessons taught in state schools across the UK. The trade body group argues that computer science is the most important skill required to create the devices and software of the future, and provides essential knowledge alongside other STEM subjects such as math, physics, and huge benefit to wider industry. That's actually kind of interesting. I like that idea.
Well, it used to be required. I date myself. When I was in school, it was required that computers, of course, weren't what they are now, but it was required that we take a computer science class. And I remember learning how to do, I learned how to make images and, because back then it was not as simple as upload and download or, you know, scan. There was no such thing. But, yeah, it was required, and I think it should go back to being as such. They live in a world where they need to know these things to compete in the job market. So they should already have a pre-existing knowledge as soon as they step out of how to do basic things. This will eliminate some of the crazy, I don't know how to program my iPhone kind of things. I'm just saying, you know, I
think most two-year-olds know how to program your iPhone nowadays.
I'm going to tell you what I'm embarrassed about. An 8-year-old picked up an iPad and knows how to operate it within 15 minutes, and I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. This was just yesterday. I'm embarrassed.
Yes, I remember hearing the rest of that story, too. That was amusing.
I couldn't figure out how to turn it off for a good half an hour. Oh, I'm supposed to slide it here. Okay. I'm going to turn in my geek card at the end of the day. I know. Some of you are out there like,
No, are we getting too old to be geeks? Is there an age limit?
No, never.
All right, good.
Oh, is it my turn?
yeah, it's your turn this time.
I was sipping my lovely.
You think about it there for a second? Yes, it's your turn.
I was sipping my lovely water. Tasty.
Tasty water.
All right, PlayStation 3, fanboys and fangirls. You'll love this one. PlayStation 3 passes the $50 million sales mark worldwide. Sony's PlayStation 3 has passed 50 million units sold into the retail worldwide as of March 29th. So it's just last month. The Move controller launched last year and has sold currently 8 million units as of April 3rd. And PlayStation Network has clocked up over 75 million registered accounts, according to Sony. And there are now 89 stereoscopic 3D titles for the system, 155 games that support the Move control system. I didn't know that. I'm just worried about sorcery. I really wasn't paying attention to anything else. Also, as of December 2010, software sales for the PlayStation 3 have passed more than 480 million units worldwide with a library of 2,128 games.
That is a crap load worth of games.
I didn't even know they had that many. I am impressed, Sony. And that's kind of short. Might throw another one in there, Jen. Hello.
Yes. Yeah, I've got about 10 windows open, and I went to go back to Skype because I was looking at this one story that is irritating me.
Okay, let me throw this one in real quick. This is another short one. So we actually, I don't think we did this one, but you, since we're talking about Sony, you people that love your Sony to death, if you were worried about NGP being delayed, of course it wasn't, but I wanted to let you know, some of you who are not, it's not due out till later this year, so you may have heard this or may not, but I wanted to let you know just in case. A Sony Japan spokesman denied reports that the recent earthquake and the tsunami and all the stuff that's going on over there will delay or at least stagger the release of NGP later this year due to damage to the production facilities. Comments to the effect that the release would be delayed had been attributed to the SCEA president, Jack Trenton, in an interview with Bloomberg. In that interview, Trenton said that the earthquake may be the straw that says maybe we just get to one market by the end of the year. However, SCEJ spokesman Satoshi has now claimed that the disaster has not affected production, saying so far we see no impact from the earthquake or our launch plan, and he's calling Trenton's assertion wrong in a statement to Nike, and it's not Nike the shoe, people, okay, just so y'all know.
There's another Nike? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Nike's, yeah. Nonetheless, it would appear that a staggered launch beginning in Japan might have been the plan all along. With Fukuoka, I'm sorry, I'm ruining your name, I'm sorry, seeming to imply that the plan would still go ahead. So those of you who are waiting for your NGP, don't worry, it's coming, and nothing has been affected. Ha, ha, ha. But they're saying here that probably a staggered launch will be a good thing. Nintendo probably, since they had such a short gap, remember we were just talking about this a few seconds ago, they had such a short gap between their previous console and the new one, it might have hindered them. So since the PSP just did an update, and with everything that's going on in Japan, doing it later this year might actually work out better for them.
Could be. I don't know. Well, I wish those guys and gals over there much luck. They've got a lot of work to do.
They do indeed.
All right, Corey, these people, I'm going to beat them. Baseball
cut
bat, going to beat them.
Cut them.
All right, I'm pulling this story from gamersvoice.org. The Right Stuff, a TV show, I think it's a UK TV show. Behavior.
I didn't hear any of that. You cut out.
Time Warner, I know it's windy, but seriously, fix my stuff. All right. The Right Stuff, which I think is a UK TV show, discusses whether violent video games leads to violent behavior. While this is nothing new because everybody's jumping on this bandwagon, right? What is different in this is that they showed scenes from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, specifically the level No Russian, around 10:30 in the morning during school holidays. It's an 18 rated game. So here they are talking about how violent video games are bad for children and cause violent behavior, and they're showing scenes from this game on TV so children can see it.
Now, why is Peggy not all over them?
I don't know.
This is where I have a problem with our gaming advocacy groups. You're out there. People are jumping on you, but when they do stuff like this, you need to jump on them so that people understand that this is not correct. You're showing this and kids are at home watching, and they should not see any parts of the game, period. You're actually playing into the thing that you're saying is bad by showing it on TV. It's not, oh, Jesus. Oh. Please tell me at least they put a rating in front of it and said the following is graphic.
Nope.
Nothing. Yeah, they need to be held accountable.
There's nothing.
Come on, Peggy, step it up. Do something. Go after them.
I cannot believe that they did this. I mean, it was during the daytime, 10 a.m. That's when, at 10:30 a.m. at that, kids are awake, they're watching TV, they're flipping through this.
On a day that they're out of school. Peggy, come on.
Mm-hmm.
ESRB, I'm looking at you too. You guys need to get on some of these people because they do this often. They show scenes from the game and then they say, we're exposing the kids to it, but you're the one showing it on TV. They have to go find it the other way if it's bad. All right.
I cannot believe they showed this on TV.
Well, you know what? I believe that is you.
It probably is. I tell you, the weather here is atrocious.
Is the wind picking up outside just now?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, because it comes and goes. Okay. Sorry, guys, if you can hear it. Ginger can't hear, but I can, so maybe you can. I don't know. But you'll live.
Yeah, it's bad. It's Texas, and it's that time of year.
Monsoons, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be interested to know this. Stardock is commenting on the game on the Gamersgate criticism. If we haven't told you about this before, you can check it out at gi.biz. Brad Wardell, who's the president and CEO of Stardock, the company that used to own Impulse before selling it off to GameStop, has stuck struck back at Gamersgate for its comments. For comments its CEO said about Impulse, Gamersgate CEO Theo Berquist recently described startup Impulse digital distribution service as an outdated distribution platform and implied that the recent purchase by GameStop has been at a bargain. Yeah, y'all remember
Ouch.
I telling you about that.
Ouch.
So speaking to industry gamers, Wardell suggested that the comments from Gamersgate were simply a competitor throwing punches at another competitor. Yes, and we were there watching. Juicy. Okay, so he says, in our experience, especially when a company CEO is criticizing another company, you usually learn a lot more about the company doing the criticizing. Ooh, said Wardell. I am not a marketer, but I know enough from being in this industry for years, and usually you punch up. You don't punch down. Oh, nice. He says his criticism of our technology is kind of a neater thing. He runs a web store, and there's nothing wrong with that, but technologically Impulse and Gamersgate are not the same sort of thing. But what surprised me the most was his comments about revenue, suggesting that Impulse wasn't that valuable. He said, I assumed that everyone was incredibly profitable at this, so it surprised me and made me wonder if maybe these profit margins are only relevant to digital distributors who are running actual platforms like Impulse or Steam, where the entire experience is provided. Steam and Impulse are essentially the App Store model, whereas Gamersgate is more like direct-to-drive. That's very true. He said, I would have assumed if Gamersgate was getting bought, they would get tens of millions of dollars from it, even though we're pretty sure we have a larger market share than they do. Oh, so it made me question if Gamersgate is doing as well as I assumed they were, concluded Wardell. That is some delicious mudslinging right there. Mm. My mouth is watering.
That is beautiful.
So we will keep you guys aware. We'll stay on top of this delicious. Oh, I love it. But it was very classy. His comeback was very classy.
Mm-hmm. It was. That was. I love it when they get into these whole little fights. This is just brilliant.
It was condescending but classy. I like classy condescension. Anyway, what you got, Ginger? What you got?
Well, I've got a rumor. How much truth there is to it, I guess we can find out at E3, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, yesterday we announced that it looks like there's going to be a Wii 2 that's going to be shown at E3 this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are rumors going around that this one will come with a Blu-ray drive.
Oh, what else are we getting? Will there be a camera?
I don't know. This is coming from PC World. They say that we're told sources have revealed that Nintendo plans to slap a Blu-ray drive in its next console. With a nod to another rumor Blu-ray.com picked up in October of 2009, that one had Nintendo planning to release a Blu-ray-based Wii 2 last year in the third quarter. I think I remember hearing something about that, but it was just another rumor. This is just a rumor, so who knows? And they go on to say, why would Nintendo bother with a Blu-ray drive? Blu-ray already seems a little vulnerable next to video streaming alternatives like Netflix and Hulu. Why not stick with streaming for video playback, avoid the Sony licensing fees, and keep the consumer cost of the console low? The DVD-based Xbox 360 holds its own in PS3 cross-platform matchups, and third-party developers would still make the same compromises they do today, designing games to work and more or less look the same on all three devices. Apparently, they've also heard recent talk that Blu-ray's faring better than expected and that consumer spending on Sony Blu-ray's 3D disc format will rise 533% in 2011. All right, so that's boring. What else can I find out here? Not much. It is a nice little rumor. I agree. Why would they just go with Netflix and Hulu? Isn't Netflix already on the regular Wii? So why would they use the Blu-ray drive?
Because some of us still have discs. Some people, you know, it's very hard for people to let go of their older technology, even when it started to become outdated. Think about VCRs. There's still people that have VCRs.
I still have one. Well, I've got one that's a combo, so.
Oh, God. Well, I wanted to share something that we kind of managed to miss this, but I'm going to go back and grab it. This actually happened about 2 days ago, but this is definitely a historical but sad thing. Gerald Jerry Lawson, the man who invented the video game cartridge, died last Saturday morning of a heart attack in at Mountain View, California Hospital at the age of 70. His brainchild, the Fairchild Channel F video game system, more commonly referred to as Channel F, came out just 1 year before Atari's cartridge-based console, the VCS, opening the floodgates of modern gaming. His earliest foray into consumer electronics began early on, but it wasn't until he joined Fairchild in 1970 that he really made his mark on the tech industry. During that time, he became one of the only black member of the infamous Homebrew Computer Club that counted Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak as members. Amazing, right? Said he was honored at this past year's GDC as his monumental for his monumental contribution to modern gaming. So at least he got his due. I tip my hat to you, sir. Thank you for the cartridge. Thank you for the new addiction. We love you. May you rest in peace. May there be tons of video games where you are. And a never-ending, never-dying, crazy internet connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's no internet, if there's no gaming, I don't want to go.
Yeah, if there's no gaming in heaven, I'm not going either.
No. No, I'm just going to invade the next person's console. Yep.
And that right there is a T-shirt. There's no gaming in heaven, I'm not going.
I like it. I like it. All right. I don't think we've picked up the one about Sand Mantis, have we?
No, but you will have to hold on to that until after the break, because it's time for
break time. It is. Sorry, guys, you're going to have to wait.
What should we do for them this Friday? You know what I think you guys need to do? Yes, stand up. If you're at your cubicle, just stand. Okay, you that jumped up and knocked your chair over, stop it. Okay, stand up very calmly.
Decaf.
Decaf, yes. Raise both your fists in the air, or those papers that you're holding, throw them in the air. Now remember, you'll have to pick them up after. But throw them into the air and yell.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered, not to fight too many.
Oh, somebody's mad.
We'll be in trouble if we don't take you down quick.
I told you you'd have to pick up those papers, didn't I?
Oh my god, he just ran in.
Leroy Jenkins, come on, digital baby.
Wait.
I love you.
Ginger Jenkins. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, he just ran in.
No.
Oh, no, we got to stop that. That's just wrong. That's just wrong.
Leroy, what did you do? What did you do, Leroy? You broke it.
He ran in first. That's what happened.
Apparently.
Wow. Oh, BT, wind, all the stuff. It's Friday. That's all I'm going to say. At least it's Friday and it's almost over. Some of you, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, I'm sure. Well, not here in the States, but somewhere else.
I'm not yawning. I swear I'm not yawning.
You did. I tried to ignore it. I wasn't going to say anything.
I tried not to.
Oh, okay.
This morning is yawning.
Before you jump into this, your next story, and we're probably going to cut off the live. You guys, normally I don't direct you to other stores other than our own, but this is too cool to pass up. You need to pop over to ThinkGeek. If you're one of the old school, you need some D20 sided die. They got some that are LED and they flash red when you roll a 20. Oh, that is hot. Pop over there and pick up one of those and send us a picture with you using it. Please be clothed when you send the picture. Thank you. Ginger, what you got?
All right, what do I have? All right, how Sand Mantis and a PS2 controller help deal with waste.
Oh, nice.
I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com. They say, here's an interesting story about real-world technology that has a minor connection to gaming. Developed for Richland, Washington-based CH2M Hill, the technology is called the Sand Mantis and is described by its creator as a new tool that takes rock salt-based waste and turns it into a fine powdery waste. All right, what's that used for? I don't know either. The technology, which is used inside giant tanks, is controlled using a PlayStation 2 controller. After the rock salt waste is smashed into a fine powder, it can easily be sucked out of the tank and disposed of.
No comment.
it is Friday. The technology helps CH2M Hill reach their goal of less than 2,700 gallons of waste per tank. It also reduces cleanup costs,
The $2.7 million tool replaces the original $12 million per tank cost estimate. Oh, that's nice. CH2M Hill is best known for creating engineering solutions for waste management and water treatment. Pat Fisher, inventor of the Sand Mantis, says, "We were first discussing this technology, the original Salt Mantis technology, last spring. We were able to show them a working model in 6 weeks. While development was relatively quick, getting it into a tank is the hardest part. Everything has to fit down to a 12-inch riser, and then it has to reconfigure itself so that it can then walk around the tank and take the pump to any part of the tank," says Raymond. I'm still not quite sure what this thing is for, but hey, it's being controlled by a PS2 controller, and that's cool.
Just proves that gamers will play with anything.
I don't know what it's doing. It's doing something. It's saving them money.
I'm seeing a bunch of gamers standing around. What does it do? I don't know. Let me see it. Let me hold the controller. Oh, look, it goes up when you do this. Cool.
And that is so true, too. We're like, we have no idea what it's doing, but we're doing it.
Let me see. Let me try. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody else out there geekier than me is like, how do you not know what this is?
Well, you have areas that you're geeky in. Anyway, you Battlestar Galactica fans will be happy to know that it looks like it may be sticking around. It's doing excellent. Online so far has surpassed 1 million. Oh, okay. What happened to my voice? So it surpassed 1 million registered players in 6 weeks. Big Point, the global market leader in browser-based MMO, announced today that Battlestar Galactica passed 1 million registered players in just 6 weeks, becoming the company's most successful launch since its founding in 2002. Based on the internationally popular sci-fi television series produced by Universal Cable Productions, Battlestar Galactica Online is free to play. It is a browser-based combat MMO that combines high-quality 3D graphics and intense gameplay.
It's free.
It said there's always a risk when you translate one well-known IP into another medium. This is from Heiko Hubert, who's the CEO and founder over at Big Point. It says, we build what we believed was a recipe for success, a fantastic gaming experience inspired by an iconic show with the added benefit of being a free-to-play title. It says, we are grateful to the fans for their support and interest in this game and pledge to continue to improve and optimize the game. Through 2011, Big Point expects the number of players in Battlestar Galactica Online, we're going to go ahead and give it its acronym, BGO, that's right, to continue to grow as it ramps up its international marketing and partner activities. Unlike most online game companies, Big Point leverages a vast global network of over 1,000 distribution partners who publish games on their own portals. Moreover, Big Point localizes its games into 25-plus languages and incorporates over 150 payment solutions, awesome, which helps it attract players from more than 250,000 new players every day. Oh, wow. So a lot of companies can't boast that.
Mm-mm.
I don't even think WoW can boast of it. Wow, amazing. Well, you can go over and check out BGO if you want to play. Again, it's free. What's the harm? And BGO is still in beta. We want to make you aware of that before you go over and go, this game didn't work. I tried to log in and this happened. Okay, but you go ahead and check it out. Realize it's still in beta. I do believe it's going to remain free even after beta. And there's no download, no installation, they're saying. So, yeah. You can go over to bigpoint.com and check it out. They have a place you can register directly for the game. It is battlestar-galactica.bigpoint.com/ if you want to go check out the game. Amazing.
That is kind of amazing, and I always love free games. Free games.
Free is good.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with my throat?
I don't know, but I blame Texas weather right now.
I tell you, you're probably right. I woke up when it was storming, and now it's lovely and sunny outside. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wait a minute, what day is this?
Friday.
Oh, you know, I think I have a Xfinity tech coming here today.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Doesn't mean they need to drive up here, too. I got issues. All right, it's my go now. I do believe Armada 2526 Supernova for the PC burst into UK, Scandinavian, and Benelux retail stores. Video game publisher Iceberg Interactive and Shining Pixel Studios today announces the launch of expansion pack Armada 2526 Supernova, expanding and adding onto the existing universe of turn-based space RTS Armada 2526. The explosive expansion is now available for purchase at retailers across the UK, Scandinavia, and Benelux territories. In view of the Supernova launch, Iceberg Interactive today reveals a brand new trailer and various stellar screenshots, which I'll try to get up on the website in just a little bit. The trailer accompanies this press release and is dedicated to the dramatic encounter of the newly introduced alien races. I will also try to get you the trailer. Pre-orders of Armada 2526 Supernova from the Iceberg webshop, which is iceberg-webshop.com, have all been sent out with free shipping last week. The localized German launch across German territories follows next week on April 22nd of 2011. All right, so we've got a couple of new features with the new Supernova. We've got two new races to exterminate, various new types of stars and planets, wide selection of special characteristics that star systems may possess, new trade system that allows you to build up a trading network, new espionage and special operations systems, many new technologies to research, challenge your friends over LAN or by email. Looks like there may be some more, too. All right, so what exactly is Armada 2526 for those that are like, I haven't heard about this game? Although the game is complex and the possible strategies endless, powerful help and advisor features help you get up to speed quickly. Unlike many games in this genre, Armada 2526 focuses on providing a game that can be finished in a reasonable time and emphasizes battle and strategy over economic micromanagement. The game consists of two sections. The star map is where you run your empire, manage your colonies, deploy your fleets, do research, and conduct diplomacy. It uses a turn-based system, so you can take as long as you wish to plan your actions. However, once battle is joined, you switch to the battle module and fight it out in real-time 3D system that brings it to life for the beauty and visceral carnage of space combat. Ooh, that sounds kind of pretty. All right, again, this game is called Armada 2526 Supernova, and this is just a expansion to the original Armada 2526. But I will get the screenshots and try to get up the trailer for you as well on our website, GameMatrix.com, in just a little bit if you want to check it out.
Well, those of you out there who play Victoria 3 will be happy to know that patch 1.3 has been released. Paradox Yay. Interactive today announced the release of a new patch for Victoria 2 that's going to bring numerous improvements to the acclaimed grand strategy game. They're saying some of the major features, of course, are improved AI for the economy and military matters. The economy system has been rebalanced with support for proper free market adaptation, a new system for how gunboat diplomacy and bankruptcies work. Socialists can now back political reforms, and liberals can do social reforms. They each has less than the other. I'm going to assume that's population promotion and assimilation have created a major overhaul. Artillery is also now a more useful unit. Mobilization does not punish sparsely populated countries as much. And there's many other bug features, game balance tweaks, and interface improvements. The patch, of course, is now available to all Victoria 2 owners through their game launcher and on all leading distribution platforms. So if you got it from Steam or Direct to Drive, it should be there too. And we'll also get a link to that up for you so you don't have to search around too much. There's also a link to the complete list of patch notes. If you're wondering about Victoria 2, it was created by the developers of Europa, Universalis, and Hearts of Iron. Victoria 2 is set during the colonial era of the 19th century, featuring historical gameplay on a map of the entire world. You can guide your nation from the era of absolute monarchies to the early 19th century through the expansion and colonization in hopes of becoming a true great power by the dawn of the 20th century, which is the one you live in. Well, not exactly, but close. Victoria 2 is available for digital download on all leading digital distribution platforms and currently in stores. They do have Facebook, Victoria 2 Game. You can go to victoria2.com, and that is the number 2 for both. They also have a Twitter, Victoria 2 Game. And, of course, this is from our friends at Paradox. So you can go over forum.paradoxplaza.com. And while we still have just 5 minutes to go, I'm going to warn you. You need to stalk Ginger.
Yes. Stalk me.
You know, we better be careful.
Bring me cookies.
And we still have some Magicka keys to give away, Magicka and Magicka Vietnam. That's right, we give you both the base game and the DLC. F-R-E-E-P.
you got to stalk me.
Well, not to stalk you to get that one. They have to give me some interesting things. Check out, there's two. We got two contests open. Now we've had one winner, Issa from last night. Hi, Issa.
We love Issa. Issa.
Issa's awesome. And I believe we got time for one more story, Ginger.
Right. Well, then what we need is some tickets. Win tickets with PlayStation to the UEFA Champions League Final. PlayStation and Konami join forces at the UEFA Champions Festival in London. PlayStation and Konami Digital will be the focal point of special UEFA Champions League event in London, with coveted tickets to this year's UEFA Champions League Final on May 28th at Wembley Stadium up for grabs. The UEFA Champions Festival Tournament, presented by PlayStation, will be held at the week-long UEFA Champions Festival in London's Hyde Park on May 28th and will take the form of a special competition using PES 2011's exclusive UEFA Champions League mode. Have I said that enough yet? Entrants from the UK, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, and Portugal will gather to take each other on following a series of pre-tournament events at each country that will be held over the upcoming weeks to determine the finalists. The ultimate winners of each country's qualification event will then get together on the 28th for a knockout tournament using PES 2011's UEFA Champions League mode. Whew, and thanks to PlayStation, the ultimate winner will receive a pair of tickets to the UEFA Champions League final at Wembley Stadium that evening. Similarly, as an added incentive, runners-up will be invited to watch the game at a luxury venue, to be detailed later. The UEFA Champions Festival will be a celebration of all things UEFA Champions League, taking place from May 21st through the 28th, and the official video game PES 2011 will feature in the Sony Stadium at allotted times throughout the week. Anyone visiting the event at these times will be invited to try their hand at the game on PlayStation 3 to win spot prizes. Entrants will also be entered into a prize draw for a number of additional prizes, including a second pair of tickets to the UEFA Champions League final. All right, so what is PES 2011? PES 2011 is the only football title to feature the UEFA Champions League, and simply playing the game on PlayStation 3 at the UEFA Champions Festival will offer a rare opportunity to secure tickets for the biggest game in European club football. All right, I'm done. I don't see anything else about ticket prices, so if you want to go on your own money, good luck.
She said good luck. Oh, my God. Well, it is time for us to leave you. Bid you a fond adieu for the weekend. You know how to find us. We're pretty much everywhere.
I need a nap now that I had to read UEFA Champions Festival Tournament, 20 times in that?
These people with their PRs. So, over the weekend, you guys know how to find us again. You can always pop by the website. We're usually signed in or somewhere around our computers or phones or something. Mm-hmm. Twitter. We're always near something. So, if you need us, you want to play.
Facebook
is good if you want to play with us. Just let us know. And those of you who keep asking for my gamer tag, I cannot post it on a public forum. It would be bad. So send me an email, GamerNatrixCorey@GamerNatrix.com.
And your ghost star, and it's in Second Life.
Well, no, I mean on the Xbox. They're like, I want your gamer tag.
No.
So many girls that want to play. And I want to play with you on Xbox, too, but I'm not posting it up in a forum. I ain't crazy. Not
no,
that
I
kind of
guys
thing.
Guys who ask me, I'm like, no. Ooh, get out.
Yeah, we're not even going to try that today. So,
no. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I am in love with you, but your music today, a little bit haunted.
Let's try it again.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love.
No, it got worse. So you guys will have to just play the rest of it in your head. We'll see you guys Monday, hopefully when we are lacking technical difficulties. And remember, game today. Tomorrow is not promised to you.
Yes, game today.
Bye, guys. Say bye, Ginger.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys and gals and girls and ghouls and zombies and everybody else.